You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
For the first time in recent memory, the Tigers are not preparing for postseason baseball in September, but rather for a fresh start in the 2016 season. Welcome to MLB.com Extras Detroit Tigers. I'm Matt Wehmeyer, in for Anthony Castrovince on a Tuesday afternoon. Joined right now by Tigers reporter Jason Beck. And Jason, as always, thank you for your time. And Jason, as someone who is constantly around this Tigers team and has been there through the stretch of four consecutive AL Central Division crowns, kind of give us a sense of the mood right now and the mindset of this team, especially for some of the prouder veterans who have become so accustomed to having postseason baseball in October, but this season that's obviously not going to be the case.
Well, it's definitely different. I've been talking with different guys about kind of what I guess is the motivation going forward. You know, some guys talk about it as being motivated from a selfish standpoint, just trying to focus on your own game and make sure you finish strong. Other guys talk about trying to win as many games as possible. Other guys talk about development, especially with the younger players. I think it's a different situation for a lot of these guys, notably the veterans. And it's one where I think even with the different approaches, I think the universal sentiment is that they're trying to avoid that feeling of despair where everything really goes in the tank, even though really over the last 2 to 3 weeks, they've had more downs and ups here, and they've had some pretty rough series.
And Jason, I want to get your thoughts on Al Avila, who of course succeeded Dave Dombrowski as the new GM in the Motor City. Now, whereas Dombrowski has had to immerse himself in a completely new environment in Boston with the Red Sox, Avila's situation much different, and that he knows this Tiger franchise frontwards and backwards. So what has this transition been like for him these past few weeks after he was appointed the new GM?
Well, I've been telling people that other than the change at the top, it's really the same organization so far. Most of the support staff has stayed the same. Avila moved quickly to make the shuffles they wanted to make as far as the current officials. And at this point, he's looking at more changes that he's hoping to make for next season. There's been a lot of talk about expanding a lot of support staff. There's been a lot written about expanding the sabermetric department, building out a department, really, because it was really only one guy previously. They're going to be adding the scouting department, I believe, with at least two new full-time scouts. So they're going to be boosting the scouting effort there. And they're looking to do some changes with the developmental staff and add some officials at some of the various minor league stops. So I guess right now the focus is a lot on the organizational structure and about, a rededication of resources there. But pretty soon it's going to have to turn to where this team goes for next season, both in terms of the manager and the coaching staff and also with the roster. And, that's going to be a few weeks down the road.
And, Jason, these pending changes that you're discussing with regards to scouting and development and sabermetrics and everything like that, were these also things being discussed when Dombrowski was there, or is this a completely new thing that Avila's brought to the table once he took over and Dombrowski was out of town?
It depends on who you talk to. I saw that Dombrowski responded to some stuff over the weekend in a Boston Globe story saying that there was a resources allocation issue there with some stuff that they were looking to do some different things, but they didn't have the resources. It sounds like there's been some resources that have been freed up here since the move at the top. I don't know where it's coming out of or if it's just an expansion of what's being put in, but I wouldn't call it a rethinking. In terms of the advanced metrics, there's a little bit of a rethinking going on. Although that said, and I've pointed this out to other people, the guy in charge of building out the advanced metrics was a Dave hire. That wasn't an Al hire. So even there, the build out is coming from guys who were previously in the organization. I think what's just going on is that those guys are being freed up to do some different things now.
And Jason, of course, with the GM transition with El Avila now in charge and the Tigers struggling this year, it's going to be the first time in 5 years they don't win the Central, that they don't go to the playoffs. Naturally, you know, it's kind of the nature of the beast. You look at the manager, you look at Brad Ausmus and say, well, you know, is he going to stay? Is he going to go? Personally, I don't see the Tigers doing something as drastic as parting ways with Brad Ausmus. But having said that, how much pressure do you feel is there for him to at least get this team to finish out the final 25, 30 games of the schedule strong and build a little momentum heading into the offseason?
Well, there's a ton of buzz surrounding Brad's situation and where the Tigers could go. I know that there's even buzz building about potential replacements right now and where the Tigers can move and how quickly they can move at the end of the season. Right now, Brad's trying to stay focused on the task at hand and about getting these guys to finish strong. Because whether he's back next year or whether he's somewhere else, this is all going on his record. And I think he puts a lot of responsibility on that. And I think he's trying to develop some of the younger guys to at least leave with a better situation than what they had at various points this year. So it's I think that's the sense where you get a lot of disconnect right now, is that the worst the Tigers have fallen here over the last month and a half since the trades of David Price and Cespedes, the bleaker the situation has looked. So it's there's going to be some tough decisions made. That's for certain. And I think that's where it's going to be really interesting to see how Al makes his stamp.
Tigers reporter Jason Beck joining us here on MLB.com Extras. And Jason, as we begin to wrap up, just want to get some injury updates from you. First on shortstop, Jose Iglesias recently went on the DL, a small fracture of his middle finger. Do you think we see him back in action this season, or do the Tigers want to take a good long look at Dixon Machado to see what they've got in him?
You know, the Tigers are talking about reevaluating him in another week and a half to 2 weeks, maybe a little bit longer. Honestly, I'd be surprised if we see him again this year. Even under the best-case scenario, you're looking at bringing him back for the final week and a half, maybe 2 weeks. And I think at some point you have to ask whether it's what can really be gained out of that and whether they'd just be better off getting a good long look at Machado, how he handles the position at short, where he could fit in this on this team in 2016. And kind of just giving him a chance to learn on the fly. I don't know if they're there yet as far as making a final decision, but the longer this goes on, I think the more it trends towards Iglesias eventually being eventually looking towards next season.
And Jason, on the pitching end of things, both Daniel Norris and Anibal Sanchez trying to work their way back into the rotation. What can you tell us about their respective health statuses?
They're both moving along pretty quickly. They both have thrown bullpen sessions in recent days. They're going to throw again here this week. And we're probably looking at both of them throwing simulated games at some point over the weekend in Cleveland. Now, if that happens and they both look like they're in good spots where they can be brought back, I think that gives them a little bit of flexibility with the rotation going into the final homestand of the year, and also with a doubleheader coming up against the White Sox there, I think in the next to last week, where they're going to have to make some rotation decisions there as far as whether to slide in a six-man staff or whether to have somebody do a spot start. They also have to make a decision on Matt Boyd and his innings count. He's pretty close to, if not past, his career high for innings pitch in a professional season. And they're looking at ways to kind of watch that count and make sure it doesn't get too far out of whack with a bigger jump than what they were planning on. So, granted, it's a situation they inherited when they traded for him. It's not something they really had a chance to plan out. But right now they're trying to stay on top of it and react to it. Now put them in a position where they wear them down the stretch or put them at some sort of risk with some September starts really don't mean a whole lot.
And Jason, just to wrap up here, I've kind of been oddly fascinated all year with Alfredo Simon, not just for his nickname, which is wonderful, the Big Pasta, but because if you look at this guy's splits between wins and losses, I've never seen anything so drastic. Not that it's breaking news that somebody pitches better in wins than a loss, but nonetheless, if you look at the numbers, 12 wins this season, his ERA, 1.79. 9 losses, the ERA jumps to 10.37. It's remarkable. In all your years covering baseball, have you ever seen a pitcher with splits as drastic as those between wins and losses?
You know what? If I might have, but I can't remember it. It might have been from like one of the early years, maybe like early career Nate Robertson or something. But just watching Simon and watching how differently he looks between the wins and the losses, and just really how the games go, it's almost like there's a split personality going on or something, or almost like it's two different pitchers. Because you watch him when he struggles, and it's a plodding pace, and it can be tough to watch, quite frankly, where it's just you can tell he's searching for it, you can tell he's not finding it, and guys can tee off on it. I think it's you look at those wins where he had the complete game one hitter against Texas. He took that no hitter pretty deep in against last time out, and he looks great there. And then he'll give up 4 home runs in Toronto. Granted, against a Blue Jays team that's pounding a lot of pitchers lately, good and bad. But he also looked bad against several other teams, some of which probably shouldn't have hit him nearly as hard as they did. He had the 3 run scoring wild pitches against the Angels. It's really, frankly, it's bizarre. And it's entertaining almost in kind of a bizarre kind of way where you don't know what you're going to be watching when his name comes up.
Yeah, it really is, like you said, bizarre and oddly fascinating. And I think if MLB implements a Jekyll and Hyde award, I think Alfredo Simon is the runaway winner of that. What a strange year he has had. Again, the big pasta. You never quite know what you're going to get. Tigers reporter Jason Beck, always a pleasure. Thanks for your time today. We'll do it again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
All right, you bet. Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, Detroit Tigers.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.